Hello, I'm Lina Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will discuss the One Health approach. The World Health Organization says One Health is a comprehensive approach balancing and optimizing the health of people, animals, and the environment. Preventing, predicting, detecting, and responding to global health threats such as the COVID-19 pandemic is very critical. For more insight on the One Health approach, I spoke with Dr. Ahmed Ogwel Umar, Acting Director of the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Africa CDC. We also discussed World Health Day, commemorated each year on April 7th. Take a listen.
The One Health approach is a very important part of ensuring that human health is looked at in the context of animal health, as well as the environment which we share, all of us. So any attempt, any planning, any strategizing at improving human health must take into consideration those factors within animal health and the environment that impact on the way that human health actually is prevented. There's prevention, and then there is action that is taken to accommodate all three at once. So whenever we are planning for human health, we must also plan for animal health and the environment so that we get the best out of our health efforts for the human beings.
This is very interesting because there have been reports saying that many of the future outbreaks, even current outbreaks that we are seeing, are zoonotic related to animals. Now, we continue to battle the COVID-19 pandemic, which is said to be from a zoonotic origin. How do we see the One Health approach playing a role in the response in Africa?
At Africa CDC, we are actively pursuing the One Health approach in strategizing for prevention and control of particularly health emergencies. We have an integrated surveillance system where we are doing the animal health and we are doing the human health and we are doing the environment together. Secondly, is our laboratories, which are designed for animal health, for the environment, and for human health, we are also progressively networking them so that any results that comes from any of these sources, we are able to marry them, synergize them, and we have a better picture of what is going on. Third, is when we are building capacity in the human health side for disease intelligence, for example, we are doing the same in animal health and the environment. So we are actively building the capacity for One Health approach on the continent, and we are also actively using that One Health approach in prevention, in preparedness, and in response to the various health emergencies that we are facing here in Africa.
Now, when it comes to COVID, the COVID response, can you give us some specific examples on how the One Health approach has been used in the response to COVID-19?
We did several things at the beginning of this pandemic, which we also continue to do as we get out of the acute phase. At the beginning of the pandemic, when we were building the capacity for laboratory diagnosis of COVID, we used human labs, we used animal labs, we used environment labs, so long as they had the capacity for doing a PCR testing. And this ensured that we could be able to do testing much faster rather than just waiting to build the capacity for the laboratories that take care of human health. We brought on board our colleagues in animal and environment. Secondly, is the lessons that we learned in addressing other zoonotic diseases, particularly the hemorrhagic fevers, we brought them to bear during the COVID pandemic. Therefore, we utilized that expertise that we had built in animal health, in environment, and in human health to work together so that we could be able to expand very fast our capacity for laboratory diagnosis. Third, is when we were doing sequencing for the various samples, We also used all available sequencing capacity, and some of it was outside of human health. It was part of animal health laboratory networks. So these are some of the examples that we did during the initial phase of the pandemic. Now, when we came to vaccination for COVID-19, the networks that we have used in delivering COVID vaccines have been informed by experiences in human health and also experiences in transporting some of the products of animal health. So long as we could be able to get the cold chain right, wherever we had freezers that were appropriate, we used them. Wherever we had coolers that were appropriate, we used them. So we really have been bringing to bear all the experiences in animal health, environmental health, and human health when we have been designing our response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Now, World Health Day is on April 7th, which is commemorated every year. The theme this year is Health for All. How do you understand this theme? What does it mean, really, for addressing public health, health in general, on the continent of Africa, for the Africa CDC?
This World Health Day on the 7th of April, and the theme Health for All is at the core of our work as Africa CDC. We do everything so that everyone is protected from disease threats and health emergencies, meaning we are delivering health for all. We do everything so that the reservoirs of diseases and different pathogens in the animal, the environment, are contained before they affect the health of animals or human beings. This is us delivering health for all. Beyond human beings, we are also delivering health for the animal and the environment parts of society. Thirdly, is the need for improving the capacity on the continent to deliver health for all is with us every day. We have shortages of health workers, we have shortages of health facilities, we have shortages of health products. And as Africa CDC, one very core part of our work is to strengthen our health institutions, to strengthen our health workers' capacity, and also to ensure that health products are being manufactured on the continent and therefore more easily available, meaning we are delivering health for all. Finally is our convening mandate. We bring together governments, non-governmental institutions, we bring together human health, animal health, and the environment so that we can all be able to work in synergy to deliver health for all. So this theme is at the core of our work here at Africa CDC.
What are your thoughts on the average African patient who is faced with maybe some health challenges every day? What does a theme like this mean for that patient, health for all, if that person doesn't really have access?
That is really the majority of the Africans having challenges with access to quality healthcare. Our role as Africa CDC is threefold for somebody like that on the African continent. One is keeping them safer, meaning we want to keep disease away from the communities. And we do that by working with the communities, providing them with the right information, which they then consume within their own context and cultures. They avoid disease. The second aspect is ensuring that when diseases visit a community, we can be able to identify those diseases quickly and therefore reduce the risks of that disease spreading beyond the original person that had been affected. In this way, we protect the larger community from the effects of any health emergency or disease threat. The third is we work with our governments to expand the reach of the health system to the communities. This is a task that goes beyond Africa CDC's mandate, and our role is to ensure that governments have the capacity to understand, appreciate, plan for that expansion of the health system so that everybody has access to good quality healthcare. Where the good quality healthcare is far, then it is our role to ensure that the communities can be able to take care of themselves at the basic level, so that when they need a health facility, it is only when the situation has become serious. That is why we are training community health workers, deploying them in the communities to empower the communities to be able to protect themselves by prevention and early visits to the health facility before things become serious. Many times the health-seeking behavior provides challenges to management of these disease conditions. If someone goes to the health facility early, even if it is far, then they get treatment better, faster, and they get healing in a more from a lower level health facility. If they wait and the situation becomes serious, then it means they will need to go even further to seek specialized care. That's why community health workers are a very important tool in ensuring that communities are healthier and their health-seeking behavior is such that the lower-level health facilities are adequate to be able to resolve the health problems that they may have. Health for all is at the core of what we do as Africa CDC, and we welcome this year's World Health Day, and we will continue to support our Africa Union member states to achieve health for all.
And finally, Dr. Ahmed, when we talk about health, prevention is a big part of it. And vaccination is an essential tool when it comes to prevention. We've seen the challenges for Africa when it came to vaccination during the COVID-19 crisis. What is the significance of health for all when it comes to vaccination, if we want to say vaccine for all in Africa?
Vaccines are a very important tool in reducing hospitalizations and in reducing deaths for certain diseases that are amenable to vaccination. We, as Africa CDC, are encouraging the public to get vaccinated whenever there is need for that. Linking vaccination to health for all is that when a population is adequately vaccinated, then they are adequately protected from those diseases. So getting vaccinated is actually contributing to health for all. Second, vaccination is what saves lives, not vaccines. We must ensure that members of the public appreciate and know that it is their role to ensure that vaccination is actually successful. So whenever there is a need for vaccination for children, for adults and for everyone, then we must go and access those vaccines, we get vaccinated, and we contribute to a health for all. So whenever there is need, and our governments have informed us that there is a particular illness that requires vaccination, we need to play our part as members of the public. We get vaccinated, we protect ourselves and those around us, and we are on the road to achieving health for all.
Dr. Ahmed Ogwel Umah, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Ahmed Ogwel Umah, Acting Director of the Africa CDC. Celebrations marking World Health Day have taken place in the shadow of the coronavirus that has sickened more than 762 million people around the world and killed over 6.8 million. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
This year's World Health Day coincides with the 75th anniversary of the World Health Organization. The agency was created in the aftermath of World War II to create a healthier, more peaceful, and secure world. In many ways, this vision of attaining a better standard of health for all people has been achieved. For example, WHO reports life expectancy globally has increased from 46 to 73 years, with the biggest gains in the poorest countries. Smallpox has been eradicated, and polio is on the cusp of elimination. But WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says much of this progress has been upended by the COVID-19 pandemic, which he calls the most severe health crisis in a century.
And as COVID-19 has exposed so brutally, there remain serious gaps in the world's defenses against epidemics and pandemics. For all these reasons and more, the world needs WHO now more than ever.
WHO warns of many emergencies and challenges in the coming years, with the emergence of new diseases and deadly pathogens, including Ebola, Marburg, SARS, and COVID-19. Last month, WHO's 194 member states began negotiations on a global accord to prevent and prepare for future pandemic emergencies. Special advisor to the Director General, Bruce Aylward, says it is important to land this agreement as rapidly as possible.
And the world is at increasing risk of new pandemics emerging. And I think the world, everyone would be remiss not to just concentrate minds, efforts, political capital where needed as well. We want to make sure that we're much, much better prepared for that one than we were for this. And we can't be without an accord like the one under negotiation.
Health officials say they hope the pandemic accord will be completed and ready for adoption at the World Health Assembly in 2024. In stressing the importance of this agreement, WHO Chief Tedros notes no nation can protect itself against future epidemics and pandemics without the engagement and cooperation of all nations. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Nigerian authorities say more than 2 years after commencing vaccination for the coronavirus, the country is yet to inoculate up to 70% of its eligible population needed to reach herd immunity. Nigeria rolled out vaccination against the coronavirus in March 2021. But health experts say hesitancy, funding gaps, and lack of local vaccine production are inhibiting factors. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
In February 2020, Nigerian authorities announced the country's first case of the coronavirus. It was an Italian citizen from Milan. And by the end of the year, Nigeria had recorded more than 1,000 deaths from over 68,000 cases. But as the virus spread in the country, so did myths and misinformation abound. Alheri Issa says she feared for her family.
Not easy for us. But we manage ourselves, and people, they are bringing something to help us here.
About half of Africa's population has been fully vaccinated, according to the Africa CDC, but that is still below the World Health Organization's target of 70% by the end of 2022. Nigerian authorities began vaccinations in March 2021 and say myths and misinformation about the virus have been persistent problems.
Well, we're doing a lot of work to mobilize the public for the important to know the importance of vaccination among vulnerable groups because it's essentially meant to protect individuals.
But experts say inadequate funding and infrastructure to locally manufacture and store vaccines also play a role. In 2021, about 1 million doses of COVID vaccines expired in Nigeria, the highest single number in any country. Last year, Health Ministry announced a deal with Serum Institute of India, the world's largest producer of vaccines, to start local manufacturing of vaccines.
It's obvious now that the will is there, the realization is there, but we still have a lot to do to make it happen. South Africa, for example, was well positioned to produce some of the COVID-19 vaccines, but then there wasn't enough market to sustain that initiative, and it did not go far.
In 2021, African leaders pledged to increase vaccines production to 60% by 2024 to reduce dependence on imported vaccines. But experts say African leaders must integrate routine vaccinations into regular public health plans.
And so we think of vaccinations as programs, as projects. Oh, it's vaccination day. Then a vehicle is driving around. We hire young people, knocking doors. And so vaccination will not work with such sporadic interventions.
We have to be more systematic.
Rwanda, Liberia, and Mauritius are among African countries to fully vaccinate 70% of their populations against COVID-19. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. The World Health Organization warns that climate change is causing an alarming rise globally in mosquito-borne infections, such as dengue, Zika, and chikungunya. Once again, here is VOA's Lisa Schlein reporting from Geneva.
Arboviruses spread by mosquitoes have spread dramatically around the world in recent decades. For example, the World Health Organization reports cases of dengue fever increased from just over 500,000 cases in 2000 to 5.2 million in 2019. And the trend continues. Latest data show about half of the world's population now is at risk of dengue, the most common viral infection that mosquitoes spread to people, with an estimated 100 to 400 million infections every year. Many of them are in Africa. Raman Velayudan is head of WHO's Global Program on Control of Neglected Tropical Diseases. He says in South America, dengue is expanding further south to countries such as Bolivia, Peru, and Paraguay.
This is really worrying because this shows that climate change has played a key role in facilitating the spread of the vector, the mosquitoes, down south. And then when people travel, naturally the virus goes along with them. And this trend is likely to continue for the rest of the world. And we have already got reports from Sudan, which has recorded quite high increase in dengue cases, over 8,000 cases and 45 deaths since July.
Chikungunya is a virus spread by Aedes mosquitoes, which are found on nearly all continents. The disease can cause chronic disabilities and severely impact the quality of life. MDPI, a publisher of Open Access Scientific Journals, reported there's been a new emergence and reemergence of arboviruses in Africa, including dengue, Zika, chikungunya, and yellow fever. And the WHO notes Africa experiences the most malaria cases and deaths in the world. WHO technical lead for Zika and chikungunya, Diana Rojas Alvarez, says cases of chikungunya in the Americas have increased from 50,000 in 2022 to 135,000 this year. She says the virus is circulating out of the usual endemic areas in South America and is spreading in other regions of the world.
So now we are seeing transmission where we didn't see it before. So, but we should be prepared to detect some cases during spring and summer in Europe and in the Northern Hemisphere, also in Southeast Asia, because the arbovirus season starts later there. It's usually when the summer season starts.
Major risk factors behind the rising number of arbovirus outbreaks around the world include climate change, deforestation, urbanization, and increased movement of people and goods. WHO experts say mosquito-borne infections put all populations at risk. However, it is the most vulnerable members of society who are most endangered. They call on countries to increase surveillance to monitor and detect the transmission of arboviruses. They urge affected communities to eliminate mosquito breeding sites in and around homes and to use mosquito repellent to protect themselves against these potentially fatal vector-borne viral diseases. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice.
the number again is the international code plus 1 then 202-258-3076.
Healthcare workers in Zimbabwe have condemned the government's plan to criminalize their recruitment to work in other countries as part of efforts to retain workers. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe's Association of Doctors for Human Rights says any attempt to prevent healthcare workers from leaving the country for better jobs would be illegal. The head of the association, Dr. Nomen Matara, told VOA Friday the government's plan to criminalize foreign recruitment of healthcare workers was shocking.
Also in our own constitution, the Zimbabwean constitution, it actually guarantees that the citizens have the right to move freely within the country or leave. So we don't know why those comments were being made by the Honorable Minister of Health. The government continue to use scare tactics and a command approach to solving healthcare problems.
Matara was responding to comments Wednesday by Zimbabwe's Vice President Constantino Chiwenga. Chiwenga, who doubles as health minister, said the government would introduce a law against foreign recruiting of its healthcare workers to address a medical brain drain.
If one deliberately recruits and makes the country suffer because it lacks the required professionals, that's a crime against humanity. If people die in hospitals because there are no nurses and doctors, and somebody who has been so irresponsible of not training their own nationals, but wanting poor countries to train for them, it's a crime. That must be taken seriously.
Matara stresses that Zimbabwe's healthcare workers are choosing to leave.
The government should note that health workers are not being pulled away from the country, but they are being pushed away by the meager salaries that they are getting. They are being pushed by the worsening economic crisis in the country. They are being pushed away by the poor working conditions in the country, lack of equipment, lack of sundries, lack of medicines in the hospitals that they work in. We urge the government to improve the working conditions, pay a living wage. You will see that people will not leave the country.
Justina Shawa is a nurse who's leaving Zimbabwe in May for better work in Canada.
If we were being given enough money, I don't think anybody would want to leave their families, leave their relatives and go work abroad. But at the end of the day, we all want to achieve good things in life. We all want to buy houses. We all want to buy cars. And we also want to send our kids to good schools. So we're failing to do all that. That's the reason why we are reaching out to recruiters. They've done nothing wrong. They're actually helping us to achieve certain things in life.
Zimbabwe's Health Services Board said in November, more than 4,000 nurses left the country since 2021. The Zimbabwe Medical Association says the country has only 3,500 doctors for a population of almost 16 million people. Healthcare workers regularly go on strike over poor pay and working conditions. Zimbabwe's government says it does not have enough funds for raises and better equipment, and in January made it illegal for healthcare workers to strike for more than 3 days. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linoch Mudu, in Washington, with producer Mukbedia Barrow. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all.
and it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05